Let's do that hockey.
Welcome to the Our Prospects Report, a member of the Hockey Podcast Network. This is report number 58. I'm Victor Nuno, one of the co-hosts here. And with me, Peter Harling. How you doing, Pete?
Doing good, man. Doing good. I've been really busy lately working on the Dauber Prospects Prospect Report. It's coming out on June 1st. And with Dauber being kind of out of commission this year, I kind of had a larger role in it. So I've been up to my elbows in profiles and prospect reports and coordinating writers and top 50 prospect lists and goalie lists and rankings and the whole shebang. And I'm pretty excited for this report coming out. It's going to be pretty great.
Yeah, well, more Pete sounds like a good thing to me.
I don't know if less Dauber and more Pete, but I'll do my best to fill those large shoes. And we've recruited a few extra writers this year to chip in as well, too. So it'll be nice to have some fresh voices in there.
Yeah, I heard that. That's going to be a good thing. Unfortunately, I'm not contributing this year. I'll be doing my own thing with the Ringside Boys. But this is the Bible. Always has been. Get your Dauber Prospects Prospect Guide. It's going to be awesome. Definitely looking forward to checking that out.
Indeed.
And all the great work you guys are putting into it. In today's report, though, we're going to focus on the Memorial Cup as we're recording this. They've kind of finished the round robin, and we were planning on doing a little bit of a preview show, but things kind of got moved around a little bit. So we'll check in on some of the main players that are in the tournament. As a reminder, this episode is brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network and DraftKings. Follow at HockeyPodNet for more great hockey podcasts. You can use the DraftKings promo code THPN for listening to the show. More on that in a bit. We're also proudly sponsored by Fantrax, the ultimate league manager for any dynasty sport you play. It is completely customizable for how you want to set up your league, from scoring categories, an amazing draft room, host a draft pick trading, treasury options, so much more. Use our promo code to sign up for a free league using the link, fantrax.com/DPR show. So for those of you who didn't know, perhaps the Memorial Cup was played in Saginaw. Saginaw Spirit were the hosts, so they're an OHL team. And then one team from each conference, each CHL league, gets to participate. So the OHL champs were the London Knights, and then we had the WHL champs, Moose Jaw Warriors, and we had the Drummondville from the QMJHL, who are, at this point, they're out. So we're actually not going to talk about any of the Q guys. And since, Pete, you're an OHL guy, we got you covered. We got the OHL guys covered from you, and I'll talk about the Dub guys. Does that sound good?
Right on. Let's get down to it. London Knights, champs, and they got a few guys that I think that are worth watching. And I've seen them play live a couple times this year, so I've got a pretty good feel on the Knights. And while there's no shortage of players we could talk about, I'll keep it to just three in the interest of time saving. Oliver Bonk is one of the more interesting players that I want to start off with. And a lot of the attention with London this year is going to Sam Dickinson because he's draft eligible and he's fantastic. And he's going to be a top, I don't know, top five pick, give or take a few places there. But Oliver Bonk has really impressed me in the games that I've seen this year. So he was drafted in 2023, the last draft, by the Philadelphia Flyers, 22nd overall. So a later first round pick, but still a first round pick. And he's a 6'2", 180-pound right shot defenseman. Right now, he's 70% rostered on Fantrax. Thank you very much, Fantrax, by the way, for getting your roster percentages active again. I missed those terribly. So he had his first training camp with the Flyers last summer, and he was really impressive by all accounts. You know, James Iacovone said really good things about him. A couple other of the beat writers, a couple of the Flyers management said really good things. I think he stuck around in camp a little longer than expected, but he didn't get any NHL games in. He was returned to junior, of course. And when he came back, he had a 24-goal season, 43 assists, and 67 points in 60 games. So over a point a game, and 24 goals for a defenseman is pretty impressive, if you ask me. And offense isn't even really the only or best part of his game. He's just a really well-rounded defenseman. His mobility is fantastic for a 6'2", 180 guy. He plays really big minutes for London in all kinds of situations. And what I think is really the most fascinating thing about him for me, Victor, is on the power play, he plays the bumper position or the net front. And it's not like he just occasionally creeps in there off the point and it's like, oh, what's the defenseman doing there? That's weird. Like, he's there all the time on their power play. And he's really, really good at it. Like, as I mentioned, he's 6'2", 180, so he's an impairment for the goalie to track the puck, right? He's a good screen. But that's not why they put him there. Not the only reason why they play him there is he scores goals there. He plays that position really well. He's got the hockey sense to understand when he needs to get his arse out of the goalie's face and back up a little bit in the slot just at the right time, just quick enough that he can get himself open for to receive a pass and get a one-timer. And then he's got the skill level to make a count when he finds that open space and finds the puck. He's also really hard to move in front of the net too, and he's got good hands and he's good hand-eye coordination, so he bangs home rebounds. He's not adverse to scoring the gritty goals too. So I really like Oliver Bock, and you know, he's got another year of junior eligibility, and I don't think there's any question that he's not quite NHL ready. But this is a player who I think not everybody had him ranked in a first round. I think some people had him just outside the first round. Some people had him in. Some people had him a little higher. But I think the Philadelphia Flyers got themselves a real, real quality, maybe not a number one NHL defenseman, but certainly a top pairing, in my opinion. What have you thought from what you've seen from Bonk in this tournament? I'm assuming you've seen a few games here now.
Yeah, you're right. And it's good that you brought up the position he plays on the power play, because that surprised me too. I was a little confused. I thought it was a mistake, but no, it's not. And you're right. He is really good there. I don't know that continues. Like, I think it would be unusual. I mean, no NHL team currently does that with the defenseman. That doesn't mean they can't, but it seems like it might not continue if you're really excited about that. That would be amazing if a defenseman got that opportunity and played that position. It could really increase their point. So just the fact that he's done that, you know, is pretty exciting. So, yeah, I like that. He definitely has had a really strong season. I mean, London just has had a great season by itself. And, you know, he has the pedigree, Radek Bonk, for those who don't remember watching him play. He's got that going for him, which I think is always kind of an interesting thing. You know, being the son of an NHLer, I think you get a little bit better understanding of what it takes, you know, and the professionalism part and all those kinds of things that can play into it. So you kind of know he's going to be a player. He's going to figure it out. He already has shown enough promise on his own too. It's not like he's just that. So, yeah, I really liked, London plays such a structured game too, that it's hard for someone to, sometimes it's hard for them to stand out in a good way, but he really does. You know, he shows a lot of his skills. He's, in case you're wondering, he has a decent number of periffs in terms of blocks, but he isn't the biggest, most physical guy. He's not the biggest hitter. But yeah, I think he's someone who's really increased his scoring potential, but I'm not sure that that's really going to be his jam in the NHL. I'm a little more skeptical about that. What do you think, Pete? Do you think he's someone who's, I mean, he hasn't really been running a power play. That's not really his been role. So I kind of think that makes it less likely that he'll do it at the next level, don't you think?
Yeah, he's not going to be like Cale Makar or Quinn Hughes or Dougie Hamilton offensively inclined, but he's going to play a lot of minutes. And I think his peripheral stats will increase with the minutes that he plays in the NHL and all the things he needs to do to play those top minutes, right? I don't think he'll be a number one power play quarterback. And it's highly unlikely that he plays the bumper position in the NHL too. I'd like to think there'd be better options for that. I can't even remember if there's been another player that's a defenseman that's done that. I think Chara played in front of the net a little bit on the power play, but he wasn't he was basically just a screen. Like, good luck moving him, right? Was the strategy there. So he was just screening the goalie. But I think as his career kind of swung more into his prime and his shot became so lethal that they put him back on the point and he just unleashed bombs from the point. Bonk doesn't have the bomb, so you know, we'll see. He's really an interesting player and I really like him.
I've seen some other defensemen like you said just take up space there, but not really in that role as you're describing. And also I just wanted to mention the periffs that you're mentioning, when I quote them, they're based on a per 60 stat. So he has his hit percentage is 30th percentile. So I don't think that he's going to be a hitter. I don't know that that's going to translate even with more time on ice, but the block should. Yeah. But maybe he'll get to like average number of hits, and he does shoot a lot. So he should be pretty decent for the periffs. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, that's all right. He's certainly a fantasy relevant defenseman, someone who I'd be keen to acquire. So the next guy I want to talk about is an interesting player. And I think his game has really, really taken off in the playoffs. In the regular season games I saw him play, he looked good, but kind of left me wanting. And I'm talking about Kasper Halttunen. And he's a prospect for...
Sharks.
Right. San Jose Sharks. Thank you. I just wrote up about him in the Fantasy Prospects report that's coming up. So the first game that I saw him at live was in Ottawa this season. And I was specifically watching him among a few other players, but him specifically. And he's got pretty good size. He's 6'3", got a good shot, but I didn't really feel like he used his size to his advantage. And we talked about this on that episode where we did scouting report, the eye test versus the analytics, Victor, if you recall. And now, since I've seen him a couple more times since then, most recently in Game 3 of the OHL Finals, just down the street in Oshawa. And night and day, his game has really taken off in the playoffs. He is very effective in driving play. And his shot is his bread and butter. But he's made these sweet little one-touch passes, too. And the line with him and Easton Cowan, and I think Barkey is the other guy on that line, their chemistry is absolutely lethal. And they read off each other really well. And, you know, really nice one-touch, give-and-go sort of plays, finding open space. The timing and the hockey sense is much more advanced than I had given it credit for earlier. The physicality is still... I'd still like to see some more of that. But of course, we're seeing it in the playoffs. I'd like to see it more consistently all the time from him. So just to kind of give you a little sample of what some things you can get from the prospect report that comes out on June 1st. So my notes on Kasper Halttunen was that he was selected in the second round of the 23 draft. He's a 6'3" Finnish winger that's physically powerful with a hard and heavy shot. In his draft year scouting reports, we said, he's a high volume shooter, but still very raw. I think that analysis was spot on. His D+1 year in the OHL with the London Knights has been a big success. His regular season steadily improved, and he finished with 32 goals and 61 points in 57 games. His playoff performance with OHL champion London Knights on a line with Maple Leafs prospect Easton Cowan has been dominant, and he scored 17 goals and 26 points in 18 postseason games. So Halttunen's going to return to the OHL for the coming season and will need AHL time as well. But the upside and power forward potential with Halttunen is significant. I think his fantasy upside is similar to that of Alex Tuck. We're looking at a 35 goal, 35 assist, 70 point player with 80 penalty minutes. If everything breaks perfectly for him and he plays on a line with, you know, someone he's got chemistry like what he has with Easton Cowan. But, you know, if he just makes the NHL and has a nice career, his 3-year sort of career best average would be no less than 25-25, 50-point player with 40 penalty minutes. We even give the fantasy upside and NHL certainty. So the ranges there are like, I think it was 10 to 30% for the upside and 50 to 100 for the NHL certainty. So I put him at 25% upside and 80% certain that he's going to play in the NHL. So I'm pretty confident in his ability to make it onto the Sharks roster, especially looking at the other prospects that they have. I think he's going to fit in really nicely there. Maybe on a line with someone like Philip Biestead on the third line would be the worst case scenario. But, you know, if he makes it onto the top two, his options get significantly better at centers as you move up the depth chart after this draft. And then the ETA for him is probably going to be in 26-27. Any thoughts on Halttunen and Victor?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you mentioned the scoring and the playoffs. Just to reiterate, almost a goal per game. That's what Kasper Halttunen has been doing. And I think it's also important to mention, it's not like he's getting the best opportunity. He's not getting the top. You know, he's sometimes playing on the top line, but not always. He's getting kind of moved up and down the lineup. He's sometimes getting a third line role. He's sometimes getting second or third line. So he's making the best of it. I mean, I'm looking, one of the cool things on Inset is you can see the line. So he's sometimes playing with Lawrence and Sim. I don't even know who those people are. Sam O'Reilly at times. He's getting a little bit of Max McHugh and Denver Barkey and Cowan, as you mentioned, but it's not all the time. It's very, they're definitely being moved around a bit. And the thing is that I think is really impressive about him is he's producing regardless. Like, it doesn't matter where he's being put, he's producing. And we've kind of known him to have this howitzer of a shot. He definitely has a big, heavy shot. But I've seen him score in different ways. It's not just the, I'm going to stand here and clap it into the net. He's not the quickest guy. He definitely, like, he's big, but his mobility is sometimes an issue. But you see him, like, getting to the net. You see him getting to the space before the defender gets there, popping in, you know, some backhand, some, you know, some nice soft touch goals. So he's scoring in different ways. And he's also, I think his playmaking has gotten a lot better. He's not just, like, hammered the puck. He's sometimes looked at a cross seam option and opened up some players. So yeah, I definitely think he's grown a lot this playoff. I think him not having to be the featured guy also has really helped him. You know, I think if Kasper Haltonen is your number one winger on your team, that's probably not the best option. But if he's like your second or third, like if he's your third line winger, you're really happy about that. And I'm talking even in the NHL, like, which is kind of where he's been for the Knights. So if he could be a middle six winger, I think you're right. Like 30-30, you know, I think he could easily be a 60, 65 point, maybe even more player, depending on how he's used. He definitely has the shot that he could be, you could just park him on the power play and he could be a weapon there. So even if he's like a third liner top power play, I think that's reasonable. The other thing to mention about Haltonen is that he hits a lot. Like he has, statistically, no one hits more per 60 than Haltonen in the entire OHL. So that's pretty impressive. He's currently 1.62 hits per game for London, which is pretty nice. And that's per game. But if you look at the per 60, he's got a lot. He also shoots a lot. So in terms of his hits and shots, they're pretty high. His blocks are close to average. So if he gets enough ice time, Haltonen is going to be, you know, a goal scoring and a peripheral production machine, which is pretty nice considering his rostership being a little bit on the lower side. So yeah, Pete, I'm a fan.
Yeah, my early impressions on him were upside of, you know, for fantasy purposes, like someone who would be good if you have multi-categories, you know, you'd be dependent on the peripherals, like, you know, like Michael McCown or Michael Karen with Nashville. But now I think my opinion of him is changed. I'm looking at him as a power forward in your top six, all kinds of potential. So we can't talk about London Knights players and not touch on Easton Cowan. The 5'11", 195-pound, 19-year-old center is 90% rostered on Fantrax. He was drafted in 2023, his last draft in Nashville, 28th overall by the Toronto Maple Leafs. And Victor, we were together. We were standing side by side on the media riser for this pick. And I don't know if you remember, but there was a like almost an audible gasp when this pick was announced. And we looked at each other and kind of raised our eyebrows and we're like, really? Okay.
Everybody's eyebrow raised, I think.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, and you know what? One person who was like, no, that's a great pick was Brock Otten. Brock was on board with this the minute the Leafs made the pick. So, you know, a tip of the cap to you, Brock, if you're listening. So the reason why I'm tipping my cap to Brock is because since the draft, Cowan has just been insane. He had a monster D+1 season. He had 96 points in 54 games, 34 more points in 18 playoff games. And in the middle of all that, he had a 42 game point streak, which I think is one of the longest in the history of the OHL or the CHL. He won the OHL's Most Outstanding Player Award, and he's just really been clutch. He is scoring game-winning goals. He is scoring shorthanded goals. He is sealing games, empty net goals. He plays defensively, and his hockey sense is really where it's at. When you watch him, you think, okay, London Knights players. You want to see him, and he's scoring a lot of points. You're thinking, okay, Mitch Marner. Well, he's not Mitch Marner, right? He doesn't have the hands and the finesse yet that Marner had at that level. He's not doing those crazy skill moves. Yeah, okay, Patrick Kane perhaps, right? Like maybe he's just an absolute sniper, but no, he's just his own player and he's awesome in his own way. His hockey sense is I think, like, super high end, but it's really subtle. You know, he just times his passes to players. In the intermission on TSN last night, Craig Button put it really nicely, where Craig said that he makes the pass to the player not when Cowan needs to escape pressure or runs out of options. He makes the pass when the recipient can do something, when the recipient has time and space. And that happened on, it wasn't Halton's goal. I forget who scored it, but it was a beauty. Yeah, maybe it was Halton. Anyhow, it was a really great, subtle little pass that led directly to a goal. And, you know, Leaf fans have some struggles right now with the way some things have gone for them. And there's going to be some decisions to be made in the offseason. And, you know, another first round playoff wins a wah, wah, wah in Leafland. But a couple players to look forward to coming down the pipe. And Easton Cowan is pretty much top of that list. Thoughts on Cowan real quick, Victor?
No, I agree with everything you said. He's been great. I think reminds me sometimes that it's important to pay attention to the second half risers. Cowan was one of those guys. He was better in the second half. He was good in the playoffs last year. That doesn't mean that's always true, because it's not always true, but sometimes it is. And it seems to be very true for Cowan. I just wonder though, Pete, I don't think as good as he is and exciting as he is, I don't think that Cowan is really a top line player in the NHL. I think he's probably more of a middle sixer. And he might be relied on to be more of a two-way guy. So for fantasy, that makes me a little less excited, but I still think he's a great player and certainly has top six upside. But I don't know if you have a thought on that part.
Well, it depends when he stops trending up, right? Like, he just hasn't stopped. He's just getting better and better and more impactful in different ways. So right now, the trajectory, I think, is straight up to the NHL and an impact top six player for sure. Now, if he caps out, if he just, you know, it'd be hard for him to have a much better season next year, even a year older in the OHL on London. And there's going to be a lot of London Knights players returning next year. Like, typically teams in the Memorial Cup that are dominating the fashion that the London Knights are, because they have a lot of 19 and 20 year olds that are in the final years of their career. But Cowan will be back. Bonk will be back. Dickinson will be back. Altonen will be back. Like, They're gonna be favorites to repeat as Memorial Cup champs next year. So, anyways, yeah, I think he's trending that way, but it's also very possible that kind of plateaus soon here. We've seen that before too, right? Where players break out in their D+1 season and everyone gets all hot and horny about them. And then they go back for their fourth year of junior. And it's more of the same. It's still very good, but it doesn't get any better. And so some people kind of cool their jets after that. So we'll see what happens. I'm optimistic that he's not done developing yet. All right. So let's talk about WHL. Who do you got?
So let's start with, they're all, of course, from the Moose Jaw Warriors, because that is the team that won. And what a stacked lineup this is. They have a lot of really great forwards and one fantastic defenseman. We're going to start with maybe the lower end guy, Martin Rashaviev, depending on how you pronounce it. He's Czech. So he's a 6'3", 209-pound left wing, 10% rostered on Fantrax, 2021 seventh-round pick by the Columbus Blue Jackets. So he played mostly in Czechia until he came over. Actually, after his draft season, he was drafted in 2021. He was playing in Czechia there, mainly in the second division, so had decent production. Then he came over to the WHL, and he's been with Moose Jaw ever since. He sort of was a little bit better than half point per game in his first season, then he increased his scoring in draft plus two season. This season, he's had 44 points in 63 games. So he's still a bit lower in terms of the production, because he's not over a point per game yet. And he's, a little bit on the older side now. He's 21. But I think one of the things that's interesting about him is he has really kind of turned it on towards the end. There are 16 points in 20 playoff games so far. So really increased his scoring later half of the year. He is a big guy. He plays physical. His hits and blocks are really high. I have on my FHL player card rate them on a per 60 basis out of 10. And so his hits are an 8. His blocks are at 9. out of 10 and his shots are 7. So if this guy really kind of makes it, even if he ends up being not a huge point producer, which I don't think he's going to be in the NHL if he even makes it, he's someone who has a really high peripheral floor. So you love that. And actually, in my model, I count Pims as negative. So he's actually, he is high for Pims as well, because the bar is low. So anyways, he's got a really good shot. You know, he cleans up a lot of pucks around the net. So I like that. If you look at the hockey prospecting, it looks pretty pessimistic. He's literally 0% chance of being a star. They're not really good comps for him. The best one is probably Riley Sheehan, who is a pretty low level replacement level. But, you know, this guy's widely available. He has a pretty high peripheral floor. He might only be a 30 to 40 point guy, but with high perifs. So in a deep, deep league, this is someone who might be interesting. Interesting. But I have a feeling, Pete, you're probably just going to want to wait list this guy.
Yeah, at best. Can't say that he moves the needle for me too much.
Yeah. Just wanted to throw it in there for those of you in the deeper leagues. Because, yeah, he's probably going to rack up some peripheral points when he gets the opportunity.
Yeah, I like that he can bring those peripheral categories. And in the head-to-head multi-cat leagues that I'm in, I would be interested in that if that's all he could bring, as long as he was on his ELC contract and was getting, you know, the minutes, and might be something kind of like an Arbor Jack guy. I could live with that.
Like a forward version of that. Certainly.
We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app with the code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with the code THPN. The crown is yours.
All right, let's move on to a more exciting player. Jagr Furkus is the first Moose Jaw forward we're going to talk about that's really exciting. 5'11", 161 pound, 2022 second round pick. He had a really big points explosion this season after a kind of meh draft plus one season. So in his draft season, he looked really good, 80 points in 66 games. And he only increased by 8 points in the same number of games, 88 points in 66 games last season. He did do really well in the playoffs last year, over 2 points per game. This year, he doubled, 126 points in 63 games for a brilliant 2 points per game there. And he's at 32 so far as we're recording this in 20 playoff games. So he's been awesome. One of the things about him, too, is that he was kind of known more for that shot. But I really think his increase is his playmaking since then and has really improved that a lot. He makes some really slick passes. You know, there are a lot of really great forwards on Moose Jaw, so you know that helps. You know, he's not just the focal point. For a while it was him and Jaeger, but you know, they have other options now. He does shoot a lot too, per 60, but he's not going to hit or block much. So if you're looking at Holden Furkus, it's really in like a points only kind of, or you know, if shots are counted, you're excited about that. His PNHLE has really trended up. He's getting close to an 80 PNHLE, which is nice. Although his hockey prospecting is kind of holding firm at around 12%. His NHLer likelihood is going up, though. He's got some really good comps. Surprising for such a low percentage. Some really good comps in there, like Peter Forsberg, Teemu Selanne, Pat Verbeek. I think that's more of an example of those guys being maybe lower percentage than they should have been. Ray Ferraro is someone that I think he looks a bit alike. Ferraro is also an undersized forward. So I think that production could be, you know, and he's, oh, I don't know if I forgot to mention, but he's a Seattle draft pick. So we've talked about him before. But yeah, I think that Furkus has really come along. He also played one AHL playoff game last season. He didn't get any AHL playoff games this year, although if they get eliminated, he might join Coachella Valley. They're in the Western Conference Finals again. So it's possible he gets into another game. But he keeps going on these deep runs with Moose Jaw, so it hasn't allowed him to get in more AHL games. But he's going to be in the AHL next season. For sure, all season, most likely. He'll be done with his WHL time. So I'll be excited to see how he transitioned to that pro game, because I think as an undersized, skilled winger, that's going to be really important. So thoughts on Furkus, Pete?
I love the Furkus circus.
He's so hot right now.
I saw him live at the Top Prospects game in Kitchener, and he really stood out in that game. And it's a one-game tournament, all-star game, but nevertheless, he scored a goal in that game. And I was like, that is an NHL shot all day long. And you, I totally agree with you. I watched him a couple times this season and a couple times in the Memorial Cup. And his all-around game has improved significantly, specifically his playmaking skills. I thought he was just a little bit more of a shooter, high volume shooter, a good goal scorer, but I think he's a bit more dual threat now. And that has really, I think, increased his projection and fantasy value for the NHL. One thing that kind of rubbed me the wrong way in the game against Drummondville, Moose Jaw had a 3-goal lead and Drummondville came all the way back to tie it up and had all the momentum. And it was late in the third period, about 2 minutes left. And Furkus takes one of the dumbest penalties I've ever seen. It was like Trevor Connolly, U18, dumb. He pushes a guy who's coming on the ice and he's got like one leg over the board, and Jaeger Furkus is going off for a line change, and he gives him like a body check shove, knocks him back into the bench. Well, like, obviously the guy didn't even have the puck. He wasn't even on the ice. That's, you can't do that. That's a penalty. And he put his team down with 2 minutes to go.
2 minutes by yourself and you feel shame.
Now, lucky for him, believe it or not, Moose Jaw scored a shorthanded goal and ended up winning the game anyways. But I was just face-palming myself going, oh my God, what a dumb penalty. This is like, if they lost this game, they would have been eliminated from the Memorial Cup. So it was just an atrocious display of control, and you know, it's a red flag for me, and hopefully he learned his lesson there, and the get out of jail free card doesn't erase that horrible feeling he must have had sitting in the penalty box going, what have I just done? So I don't know if you watched that game, Victor, but yeah, that's a concern. So that's my take on Furkus, though. I still love him. I think he's great and I'd love to own him.
Yeah, I didn't get to watch that game. I was busy last night, but yeah, I think what I heard you say is he has tremendous faith in his penalty killers. That's what I heard.
Well, there you go.
But no, that's definitely a bit of a concern. Untimely, like you said, one isolated situation, so can't completely influence you. But that is a really dumb penalty to take for sure.
Bad discipline.
Yeah. No, I think he's a good one. I'm still waiting to see his AHL time till I put my full rubber stamp on him, because I agree though, a lot of the goals and a lot of things I've seen, I think, totally translatable, but then there are other parts when he gets pushed around a bit that I'm still not sure. So we'll be interesting to see. Similar size concerns with the next guy we're going to talk about, and that's Matthew Savoy. So he's 5'10", 179 pounds. He's thickened out a bit since his draft, but still grew an inch. So still a little bit on the smaller side, though. He was drafted 2022 eighth overall by Buffalo. Or sorry, ninth overall. Whoa, I have a typo in my notes. That's annoying. So yeah, he was originally playing with Winnipeg, and the Winnipeg Ice moved to Wenatchee, and then Wenatchee traded him to the Moose Jaw Warriors halfway through the season. So he was doing really well with Wenatchee, but they decided to trade him, and he's been awesome for Moose Jaw. Over 2 points per game in the regular season, 24 points in 19 playoff games. He was also at the World Juniors. It wasn't super good there. We should mention that, you know, Furkus went, but didn't get a chance, unfortunately. And I think we all wonder if things would have been different for Canada had Furkus been there. So anyways, we won't know. But Savoy, yeah, he's, you know, fit in pretty well. He's one of the many offensive weapons they have, which is pretty exciting. He's someone who shoots a lot, but definitely a points only type of option, because Savoy is not going to hit or block hardly at all. So he's not really going to do anything, take PIMs or anything like that. He does have a pretty even split between his goals and assists, although he is definitely a bit more assist heavy, I would say, definitely more of a playmaker. Of course, when you look up hockey prospecting, the comp that popped up is Braden Point. And I know we've had a discussion with Joel about how Matthew Savoy is not the next Braden Point, but you know, that's a lot of the comps you see. Mikael Granlund is another one, Alex Holtz, Jesper Voqvist, Dustin Mercer, these are all guys that he could be like. I think it's so difficult, because when I watch him, I don't know. I feel like his game doesn't scream to me as NHL or professional ready as even someone like Furkus. So that makes me a little bit concerned. But all of the analytic models, like you know, the his penitentiary has been basically 70 for the past four seasons in a row, Savoy. And the hockey prospecting has him up to 66% chance of being a star, nearly a lock to be an NHLer. So all those signs point to him being great and super valuable. I don't know. I'm just still a little skeptical about him. Plus, I'm also worried about where he fits in with the Buffalo depth chart because they got a lot of great prospects. I mean, you or someone on your team is writing them up, I'm sure, for Dauber. And that's a bit of an issue because it's going to get crowded there in the top six. And, you know, he's a smaller playmaking winger that isn't necessarily super tough to play against in all situations. So that might limit some of his playing time in the NHL level. Does that concern you at all, Pete?
Yeah, I do have some concerns about Matt Savoy. And, you know, so this season I watched him or was looking for him at the World Juniors with Canada, and he didn't really stand out, but he was injured, didn't play a lot. So chalk that one up to that. The Memorial Cup, I've been looking for him, and there's been a lot of times where I'm like, is he even playing? And then all of a sudden he does something spectacular. breaks the defense or makes a sublime pass and does something great. And I'm like, oh, okay, there he is. And then I don't see him again for a while. So that is concerning that he can be dynamic at the junior level, but when he doesn't have the puck and he's away from the puck, he's invisible. So that is something that I have a concern about. Yeah. I also would be more enthusiastic with Fergus at this point.
Yeah. And I know when we talked to Shane and when you talk to NHL people and you realize that these are important issues, you play mostly without the puck like 90% of the time. And so what are you doing away from the puck? What are your habits? I'm not sure that he's going to endear himself Savoy as much to NHL coaches. So that's a bit of a concern for me. Let's move on to the next guy, Samusha. A lot of great offensive forwards. Braden Jaeger is the last one we're going to talk about. So he was a 2023 14th overall pick by Pittsburgh. Definitely their crown jewel right now at their prospect pool, which is pretty weak. So he's it. 6 foot, 170 pounds. He's played for Moose Jaw basically his whole WHL career. He was at the World Juniors with Canada, 5 points in five games. I think probably one of the better players that was there for Canada and they're not so great showing. But he's been great for Moose Jaw pretty much the whole time. In his draft season, 2023, he had over a point per game, 78 and 67, which is really nice. Over a point per game in the playoffs as well. And he increased his scoring almost, I guess not quite double, but 95 points in 57 games is a pretty dramatic increase for a D+1. You love to see that. 27 points in 20 playoff games. Guy's a scorer. You know, he's definitely a goal scorer, although he has a lot more assists. So he has really increased his playmaking as well, but he can put the puck in the net. His penalty has bumped up to 76, which is really, really nice to see. His hockey prospecting has held steady at 21%. So he's got some pretty good comps. Guys like Seku Koivu is one. Luke Robitaille is someone who he kind of looks a little bit like, although both those guys had massive D+2 and D+3 explosions in their production. So I'm not sure you can quite relate that. Sam Steele is another one he looks a bit like, which would be a little disappointing, I would say, as an outcome. But overall, for Jaeger, really high for goals and assists and shots, but not much for the hits and blocks, which is kind of a theme here with a lot of these Moose Jaw forwards. So, but I think, you know, in terms of all of these forwards, I think there's just kind of comparing and contrasting them. I think that you know, Savoy may have the highest points upside, but I think there are more questions there. I have fewer questions about Jaeger and his ability to translate his game to the NHL. He also doesn't have the size concerns. He skates pretty well, mostly in straight line, but pretty good. And then Furkus, you know, I think even though he's a bit smaller, I really like him. So if I had to rank them, Pete, I probably would go Jaeger, Furkus, Savoy. What do you think about that order?
I think I might be inclined to agree. I haven't really thought about it. I have to factor in their opportunities with their team, which would also probably give Braden Jaeger the advantage there too, because he's the Penguins' top prospect by a wide margin. I really like him too. I think we talked about players that have evolved their game, and you know, his bread and butter and his meal ticket to NHL stardom is going to be his shot. It's really good. He can shoot the puck like an NHL player. But his playmaking ability and his hockey sense have really evolved in his D+1 season. leading Moose Jaw to their first WHL championship. I wrote him up in the Sabre Prospects report. My comparison for him was TJ Oshie. Thought that that was a pretty decent comparable. I think he's got 80 point upside as a best case scenario for his career, which is pretty high. But more likely, I think no less than 20 goals, 35 assists for a 55 point guy. And I think he's going to be NHL ready in probably 26, 27. So not too far, but we're looking at another year and some AHL time before he's full-time Pittsburgh Penguin.
Yeah, that seems like a reasonable comp. Just don't expect the periffs with Jaeger, because that's something that Oshie does a little bit better.
Yeah.
I don't think that'll happen.
Yeah, no, 40 penalty minutes, best case scenario, but probably an average around 20 a year. He's not a greedy guy.
Yeah, it doesn't really hit or block either, hardly at all.
Right.
Yeah, so let's get to the crown jewel here, and this Denton Mateychuk. What a guy. I love me some Denton Mateychuk. In fact, it's so much that I wrote a feature on Mateychuk for EP Ringside. Actually just dropped today as we're recording this, so go check that out. Got some good quotes from Cam the Man and Dinesh, one of the WHL scouts for FC, and Mitch Brown, who always has really good things to say. So Mateychuk, in case you're unaware or forgot, he was a 2022 first round pick by Columbus, 12th overall. That was also a really good defensive draft, just like the one we're about to enter. And even though he was, I think, the fourth or fifth defenseman, he's definitely one of the top of that draft. And I think one of the important things to keep in mind is that he has been a teenager these last 2 years since being drafted in the WHL, because he's a July 12th birth date. So super young. He was still 17 when he was drafted and played that whole season as an 18-year-old and this last season as a 19-year-old. His production for Moose Jaw, the first 2 years, his draft and draft plus one season were nearly identical. He was right around a point per game. And then when this past season, Moose Jaw was really good, he's increased to 75 points in 52 games. So he's a defenseman, in case you forgot. So that's really awesome production. He's 5'11", 192 pounds, so slightly undersized, although he doesn't really get pushed around too much. He's pretty good that way. 30 points in 20 playoff games have been really nice. And, you know, one of the things that I always look at, Pete, is I always look at, okay, this is a really good offensive team. I'm sure, you know, is he just benefiting from all the offensive players around him? And I don't think that that's true. So, you know, certainly Furkus, Jaeger, the guys we've talked about, Savoy, have gotten a lot of points for them. But then you look at Mateychuk has 75 points in 52 games. The next highest defenseman is Kalen Parker, who is a Minnesota draft pick, 42 points in 63 games. So he played 9 more games and he has 33 fewer points. And then if you go down from there, it's 17 points in 68 games and then 11 points in 60. So, I mean, he's talking the third highest scoring defenseman on this team. He's almost 60 points higher than that. So, no, I don't think if there were the case that everybody was benefiting from these high scoring forwards, all the other defensemen would be up there, too. So it just goes to show that Mateychuk is really special and he's been a big part of this offensive push, not just those forwards. So I think that's really important to keep in mind. And he's kind of an all situations guy. He plays on the power play, he plays PK, he plays all the minutes. He's getting a ton of time on ice. And if you look at Mitch Brown's playing card, he's basically breaking the card in terms of how high he can be in just about every metric, except for goals and shots. He shoots a fair amount, but he's not like a huge volume shooter, and his expected goals are a little bit lower, even though he does actually, you know, have a fair number of goals. I mean, 17 is certainly not bad for a defenseman, but he doesn't have like an amazing shot or anything like that. And he's not the biggest volume shooter, although if you look at his shots per 60 in the WHL, he's a 9 out of 10. So he's still pretty decent. And in terms of his other coverage, he's a 5 and a 6 for hits and blocks. So he's like average to above average. But because he plays so many minutes, which I think last I checked, he was up to like 26 minutes, that's translating into a ton of peripheral coverage. So if he can play that many minutes in the NHL, then he'll be really great. My only question is, I'm not sure if he is. I mean, Columbus has obviously Werenski, and they've got Yurchek, and they've got a bunch of other defensemen coming too, like Sulemans and Sposal. And, you know, there's some other options there. So that may get a little dicey in terms of how much opportunity he has. Samuel Nashko is the other one. But I do think he still has top pairing upside. But, you know, even if he settles into more like a middle pairing, I think that's pretty great. But he still can be an all situations guy in the NHL, and he should get a lot of playing time. And I think the ceiling is really high for him. If I had to choose between Yurchek and Matejchuk, I would take Yurchek 10 times out of 10. But I don't think if you can't get Yurchek, I don't think it's a bad consolation to take Matejchuk and really be pretty happy about that. Because I still think there's a pretty decent chance he ends up being the top power play guy there in 2 to 3 years, unless they, you know, draft someone else. But yeah, I really like him. 28 minutes is what he's playing right now for Moose Jaw. That's a lot. I don't think he plays 28 minutes in the NHL. never know. I guess he should be in the 22 to 24 minute range, I would guess, at some point. Thoughts on him, Pete?
Yeah, I got a few. I like him a lot. I love him. He really impressed me. One of the most impressive players at the top prospects game that I went to. And he was a rover in that game. He was just all over the ice. He was rushing up the ice, carrying the puck, joining the rush as an extra attacker, and always the first man back too. And, you know, he was just relentless. He was just a puck hound, always chasing down, always putting pressure on the puck carrier when his team didn't have possession. So I liked all of those things. I liked his skill, his skating, his play away from the puck. And that's only gotten better as his development has gone on. And he's just been a dominant factor for Moose Jaw. You know, you talk about who would you rather. I'll give you another one. Pavel Mintikiev with the Anaheim Ducks or Denton Matejchuk. Those guys went in the same draft. And, you know, I've flip-flopped back and forth on these two guys a couple of times now. There's been times where I was all team Matejchuk, and then I've been team Mintikiev. So I'm not sure where I sit right now, because Pavel looks pretty good with the Ducks. He had a really good season, and he looks like he's in the NHL to stay. And we'll see what Matejchuk does next season. I wouldn't be surprised if he got a little AHL seasoning, because to your point, the Columbus has a pretty good young blue line. You've got Werenski, you got Provorov, you got Severson on the roster right now. And then they've got some other good prospects that you mentioned as well for competition. So I don't know, between those two, who do you like?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure in the draft season, I was team Matejchuk as well, but you can't ignore the impressive jump that Mintikiev made that Matejchuk did not. I mean, you know, let's face it, he could have. That's certainly an organizational decision and a little bit different situationally. But Mintikiev, for a really bad Anaheim team, you know, did really well. I mean, he was, right, you know, pretty passable defensively, and he showed some really great flares offensively. I mean, he can play in the NHL already, you know, as a young guy. And I think he's pretty dynamic offensively too. I think he's, you know, he's got that top power play, you know, probably, you know, more or less locked up. You know, Zellweger might have something to say about that. Drysdale's gone. But I think it might be Mintikiev, you know, so I think I would take him. He also covers periffs pretty well too. So yeah, I think I'd have to go Mintikiev, but yeah, it's fairly close there. I like both of them for sure.
Yeah, he made Drysdale expendable, which turned out pretty good for them overall. All right, time for the host team.
Yeah.
All right, a couple players from Saginaw that I kind of want to touch on. And we have to talk about Zane Parekh. So we've talked about him a couple of times on the show throughout the season, because he's one of those elite draft eligible defensemen in this year's draft. And I think it's probably pretty safe to say that in terms of fantasy hockey, he might have the most upside in this draft class. Elite Prospects has him as the 9th ranked consolidated player for the draft. He's 6'1", 181. So, you know, he's not a big guy, but he's certainly not Lane Hutson small or anything like that. And why I say he's the most fantasy relevant defenseman, because he scored 33 goals and 96 points in 66 games. And, you know, checks notes. Yes, that's actually very good. That confirmed that. Although in the playoffs, he's really hit the skids in the playoffs here. He's only got 2 goals. What have you done for me lately? He's got 11 points in 13 games. So, you know, overall, still not bad. His defensive game, also not a liability. I really liked what I've seen from him defensively. Yeah, sure, he gets beat every once in a while, but, you know, he's an 18-year-old defenseman, and they're going to make some mistakes, and I've also seen him make some really good defensive plays, and he's pretty quick. He can get back very fast. He made a good one last night that really took away sort of breakaway opportunity and didn't take a penalty on it either. We'll get to the penalties in a minute. So his offensive upside is elite. His defensive game is, and you know, to say his offensive game is elite, that elite is an adjective that I try not to overuse or use very often when talking about players. But in Zane Parekh, it certainly applies. And I've even heard some people talk about comparing his offensive upside to the likes of Erik Karlsson, which is pretty lofty, right? Like, he has had some fantastic offensive seasons in the NHL. I don't think they're unwarranted. I think this is a player that his offensive game is going to translate to the NHL, and he's going to score a lot of points. Another side of his game that doesn't get talked about very often, I don't think, is that he can be a really dirty player. Like, bad. He had a 4-minute double minor in the game versus London the other night, and it cost Saginaw a power play goal, and they ended up losing the game. He was suspended in the season for an incident at the game in Kingston that I was at, and I believe it was for spitting on a player. So, you know, I'm not really a fan of that. And then he avoided what the league admitted to being should have been at least a 5-game suspension for a pretty vicious blindside cross-check to the head in a game against Sault Ste. Marie. So, you know, he's starting to get a little bit of a track record as, you know, being one of those over the line sometimes players, especially with his stick, which I don't really like. He gets his stick up high. Another thing I like about Parekh, though, to finish my train of thought on him on a positive note, I think he's a pretty smart guy. He's finished school like 2 years early. So this year he's graduated high school. So he's playing in the Ontario Hockey League, which means he's basically a full-time hockey player. And I think that's part of the reason why he's had so much success this year, because he can just spend a lot of time practicing and in the gym when everyone else is in school. So I don't know, Victor, top offensive defenseman in this year's draft class, is he who you would pick first overall? If, I mean, not overall in the draft, but if it's your pick and you're like, okay, I'm not getting Caden Lindstrom and I'm not getting Macklin Celebrini and I'm not getting Ivan Demidov, so I'm going to take one of the defensemen. Is he the guy you take?
With a bullet, yes. In fact, I'm finalizing my ranks for Fantasy Hockey Life, and he's my number three guy. It's Celebrini, Demidov, and Parekh. I would not go Lindstrom, actually, for a little tease for those of you. I have Katten at four, so Lindstrom is a bit lower. And yeah, I think all the things you said, in fact, we did a mock draft over Fantasy Hockey Life and I was in the three spot. So I actually had to make this exact decision. And it was actually tougher than I thought because, like you said, you could go a lot of ways. I mean, there's things to like about Lindstrom for sure. And, you know, I think Aginla's in that conversation, Bouillon, even Yzerman, right? Because, you know, the goal scoring. But I think the upside with Parekh is just so, so high. It's hard to pass on that. And like you said, when I watch him play, I don't watch just a great OHL player because he clearly is that. But he also, like, his intelligence and the way he sets up plays is just like, whoa. Like, you could see that he can do this with better players around him and he can set up the best of the best. Like, he can see the ice better than anyone who's out there usually with him. And so that kind of IQ translates. And yeah, people have made a lot of comments about his defensive play, but even someone asked me on Twitter, actually, is he like Ryan Merkley on defense? And I was like, not even close. Like, it's not even in the same conversation.
No.
Merkley was completely different, disinterested, you know, not really engaged. And even when he tried, it was not very good. And Parekh is, I think people misunderstand his poise and composure as lack of interest. And that's not really... he's not really disinterested. I think sometimes he just, it's like if you knew what someone's going to say before they said it and they droned on for 5 minutes and you already knew what they were going to say, like, you'd be pretty bored. Right. And like, I think he knows what's going to happen before it happens. And so sometimes he's just kind of waiting for his opportunity to pounce. And then he does, you know, and he makes the right play. Of course, sometimes people move quicker and kind of, you know, can make him look bad. That happens to anybody, right? It's not, he's not immune to that. But I think overall, this idea that he's bad defensively is a total non-starter for me. He's certainly not the best defensive defenseman in this class, but he's nowhere near the worst. You know, he's probably average to a little above average defensively, but his offense is just so, so good. And anyone who takes him, I mean, he's a guy who screams top power play. He screams like second pairing, you know, probably at worst. He could be a top pair guy if he rounds out his game. But I mean, you're talking like point per game upside with Zane Parikh. So yeah, I think you have to, because you start going down the list and it's like, what are the other forwards have reasonable point per game upside? You know, and it's like, not too many in this draft, right? I mean, there certainly are some, but yeah, I think you have to be pretty excited about Parikh, and it could really help you too that he might actually go a bit lower in the NHL draft, right? I mean, he might slip to past 10 or something, depending on a few factors. So
I don't think he'll be the top defenseman picked. I think that's gonna be Levshunov, and I think Buyum will be picked before him, and probably even Sam Dickinson. They just have better all-round NHL value than Zane Parikh does. So yeah, if people are going off the NHL draft list, you might get really good value with Parikh.
Definitely. Yeah, I would. And not to go too much on Dickinson, but I would just mention that I have him quite low. I think I have him 31st on my list. So he's going to go really high, but I personally would not draft him very high at all in fantasy. And really, the only reason he's that high is because he's going to play a lot of minutes in the NHL. So, like you said, the floor is really high. But mm-hmm. He kind of reminds me a little bit of like Mark Edward Vlasic. You know, like he's a really good player and he's going to play a lot of minutes. But is he going to be good in fantasy? Like, I don't think so.
Fair enough. All right. Food for thought there. All right. So, another player who's got less offensive upside that plays for Saginaw that I've been keen to watch this series is Jorian Donovan. And I also wrote him up in the fantasy prospect report. He's a 10% Fantrax rostered player. He's a 6'2", 294-pound left-shot defenseman. And he is the Sens 2022 fifth round pick. And he's quietly assembling a promising little resume here, Victor. His would-be rookie season in the OHL was the COVID year of 2021. So that was kind of canceled out, making his draft year and rookie year one and the same. He scored 22 points and won an OHL championship with the Hamilton Bulldogs that year. In his final OHL season, he's been traded to the Memorial Cup host Saginaw. So he's back in the Memorial Cup. He finished the year with 46 points in 66 games and was selected for Team Canada at the World Junior Championships. He played in 5 games. He's going to finish his career in the Memorial Cup here in the OHL to improve his resume even further. And next year, we'll see him play in the American Hockey League in Belleville. He's a really nice, complete player. He's got sort of average size, 6'2", I guess a little on the larger size. He's reliable defensively. He's got some offensive upside. He can play physical if need be, but he's going to need a couple seasons in the American Hockey League before he's ready. I thought a good comp for him would be TJ Brody. I see him being a best case scenario 45-point guy, 60 penalty minutes, but probably more in the neighborhood of 30 points a season with less than 40 penalty minutes. Probably looking at 26, 27 as his arrival in the NHL. So, you know, one of the lesser sexy players, but I think you're someone who's a low roster ship for Fantrax. So I think there's an ownership opportunity here. Do you have any sort of appeal for Jorian Donovan? I mean, his path to the NHL through the Ottawa Senators prospect system isn't very challenging. Tyler Cleven would be his main competition, but the Sens do have some pretty good young defensemen for now.
Yeah, I'm not super interested in him, but he does check a lot of peripheral boxes. Like you said, the PIMs are pretty good. You like that sort of thing. The hits are pretty good, and so are the shots. The blocks are kind of average, but, you know, I think the question is, can he play enough minutes? And if he can, then he'll be decent in a deep enough league. I think 45 points is generous. I think he'd be lucky to get there. I think he's probably more of like a 35-point guy, but with enough peripheral coverage, that can be enough. Be of interest or value. Just
yeah, Yeah, remember in the prospect report, the upside comparable, the high end one there, 45 points, that's like if everything goes great, right? Like Zach Hyman, when he broke into the NHL out of the NCAA, no one thought that he'd be a 50 goal scorer, but here we are, riding shotgun with Connor McDavid, and 50 goals is something that he just did. So you never know. It's kind of one of those if, what is the upper limit of his potential? It's very unlikely that he would ever be a 45-point player, but, you know, if he plays with Gail McCarr or something like that, you know, maybe. Anyways, that's all I got for the Memorial Cup. We've got a couple more games to go. We're recording this on May the 30th, so it's going to wrap up this weekend. And then other than the Calder Cup and the Stanley Cup Finals, I think we're pretty much done with the season. And then it's off to Vegas for the draft. You and me, Victor, will be there.
I can't wait.
Speaking of the draft, we talked about our draft rankings. We should do an episode pretty soon comparing our fantasy draft rankings. Do you think the listeners would be down for something like that?
It could get contentious, which makes for good content.
Well, I hope so. I certainly hope so. All right, everybody. Sorry we missed the episode last week. Family emergency. Those things happen. But we're back, and thanks for tuning in today. I hope you enjoyed report number 58. For feedback on the show or to chat with us, you can reach us on Twitter at @DPR_show, at Farling, at VictorNuno12, and at Sabarin91. HockeyPodNet is another place to go for some more great hockey podcast content. And as always, share the show. Give us a like, give us a review, and we'll see you on the next episode. Till then, keep your stick on the ice.
Let's do that hockey.